The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text this morning is from Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. It's just one statement by Abraham, said by Christ, but he was quoting Abraham, speaking to the rich man. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, this is the last statement in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. This was spoken by Jesus to his disciples. And I want to definitively state something right here, right now. As far as I can tell, this is not a parable. That's why I stated this is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus told them parables, and sometimes he announced it. Sometimes it was announced to us by the writer of whichever gospel that parable is recorded in. Here, in this account, there is no statement saying this is a parable. Also, you will see here in this account one thing you will never see in a parable. One of the people in this account is named. Christ gives a name here. The parables are always seem to be, they are non-specific as to who is in them or what is in them. You have the sower, a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, the lost son's father, a grain of mustard seed, leaven, wheat and tares, a householder, a vineyard, husbandman, a fig tree, a new garment, and the blind leading the blind. The people and things in parable are always in general. They are not specific. Even if they are spoken to or against certain people, the characters or whatever is in the parable is not identified nowhere by name. This is the only one. This is, like I said, this is an account. I believe this. I don't think this is a parable, because this account starts out with a certain rich man and a certain beggar named Lazarus. I believe these are real people who really died, and that this is a real account of what really happened. And there is, I know, a real truth to be seen here in the words of Jesus Christ. His words are always true, and his words are always valuable. Now, this is the end of the account. The rich man is dead. Lazarus is dead. The rich man is in torment, and Lazarus is being comforted by Abraham. There's a great gulf fixed between them. There is no mixing of the two places or of the two people. Either way, you can't come to us and we can't come to you. The rich man says, send Lazarus to my brothers. I don't want them to come here. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And this is Abraham's answer. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He said he had five brethren, and he wanted Lazarus to go back that he may testify unto them, so they don't come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The rich man knew his brothers wouldn't listen to Moses and the prophet, because he himself did not listen to Moses and the prophets. Abraham was speaking to this rich man, and he was correcting this supposition that this man voiced. And this man, Christ said, was in hell. This man believed, and he voiced this idea that his brothers would listen to one that was raised from the dead. Abraham had to correct this man's belief. Why? Because his belief was wrong. It was wrong. Abraham makes this profound statement, if they hear not Moses and the prophets. Christ is speaking. He's the one telling this account. And he's telling what Abraham said. Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. The rich man first asked for relief for himself. And Abraham told him, no, there's no relief for you. And then he asked that Lazarus be sent to his five brothers. Abraham told him, if Moses and the prophet, this is the way it states it in Young's Literal Translation. I like this part here. And he said to him, if Moses and the prophets, they do not hear, neither if one may rise out of the dead, will they be persuaded. If Moses and the prophets, they do not hear. Now, this is not speaking of deafness. This is not talking about the ability not to physically hear. This is talking, Abraham is referring here to the hearing ear. Proverbs 20 and verse 12 puts it this way, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Stephen, speaking just before he was stoned to death, said in Acts 7 and verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. It seems that we're learning something here, that hearing comes before being persuaded. Stephen said the heart and the ears had to be circumcised. Paul wrote this in Romans 2 and verse 29, that circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit. This is not physical circumcision. Spiritual circumcision results in hearing ears, seeing eyes, and a heart that understands. What does all this mean, specifically as relating to this account? It means this. If you don't hear Moses and the prophets, it is because you are spiritually uncircumcised. You are spiritually dead. And that was the problem with this rich man, and that was the problem with his five brothers. Because if you are dead in trespasses and in sins, if your ears will not hear, you will not be persuaded, even though one raised from the dead. Whew. That is a statement. One being raised from the dead will not persuade one who is already dead spiritually. That's what it said. Neither will they be persuaded. Because there's a correlation laid here between the hearing the truth of God in Christ and being persuaded. As I've stated, this is not a physical hearing only. But there can be a physical hearing. Now, I'm not going to leave out the deaf, who actually physically cannot hear. The hearing spoken of here implies an understanding of the heart. The circumcision of the heart and the ears is a simultaneous event. Also, the opening of blind eyes, spiritually speaking. Although the understanding of the heart follows the hearing of the ear. Being born again, being born from above, imparts spiritual life where before there was only spiritual death. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now we are alive unto God, even though, and be very clear with this, even though nothing has changed physically. The change is internal. The change comes from the outside by the Spirit of God, being born from above, being born again. Life has come into the dead center. Without this life, no one will be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead and told them about it. Now, this is not belittling in any way, shape, or form the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God, but I do have to make this perfectly clear. Christ's literal, not spiritual, literal resurrection from the dead did not impart spiritual life to everyone in the world. You understand what I'm saying? He did raise from the dead. But that just his resurrection did not give life to everyone in the world. His resurrection did accomplish something. It was the seal. It was the Christ's resurrection did show forth the acceptance of the Father of his sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Son, and that sacrifice of the Son did secure redemption for those whom he died. The Good Shepherd, Christ called himself, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd did lay down his life for the sheep, and he did take it back up again. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it back up again. But those lost sheep do not follow the Good Shepherd until he calls them by name. And they hear their name being called by the Good Shepherd. They will not believe, even the sheep, the lost sheep, the sheep whom Christ laid down his life, those sheep will not believe or be persuaded until the Spirit gives life to the dead sinner. Christ Jesus put it this way, talking about the words of Moses, because this is what Abraham said. Do not think, this is John 5 and verse 45 through 47. John 5 says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you. He's talking to the Jews here, the Pharisees and the scribes. Even Moses, in whom ye trust. These people, these Jews, put great stock in Moses and his words. They studied them. They studied them. They would have them on, you know, little phylacteries and stuff and things that they would pull down pieces of scripture. They wanted to know, these Pharisees and scribes, they dealt with the scriptures daily. And Christ tells them, there's going to be one that accuses you, and it's going to be Moses, in whom you trust. Then he says this, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Four, why would you believe Christ? Why would you believe Jesus if you believe Moses? For he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? If you don't see Christ Jesus, the Lord, in the writings of Moses, I'm going to tell you this. You have missed the point of the writings of Moses. And I'm going to put a big period right there. If you don't see Jesus Christ, if you don't see the Son of God, if you don't see the Lord from glory, the Lord of glory, the one who came down, if you don't see the Son of God in the writing of Moses, you've missed the point of the writing of Moses. Now, everything Moses wrote of was true. Everything Moses wrote that happened did happen. But there are a lot of things in those writings of Moses that point toward the coming of the Messiah, that point toward the work of the Messiah, of Christ, of Jesus of Nazareth. These Jews really didn't believe Moses or his writings. How can you believe Christ if you don't believe Moses? You can't. Jesus said so. Moses wrote of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you will get everything that Moses wrote, that you will understand everything in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I'm not saying that, but you will have some grasp that Moses was writing of Christ when you read of the fact that God clothed, took skins of animals, and he clothed Adam and Eve. He covered their nakedness. When you read of Noah's Ark, Joseph in Egypt saving his family, the Passover, the manna in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the sacrifices offered in that tabernacle and before, the sacrifice of Abel and not the sacrifice of Cain, the clothing of the high priest, all of these things Moses wrote of, and yet they show forth part of the work, the character, the life of Jesus Christ. You should understand that you only partly understand, okay? I mean, I only partly understand. No one understands perfectly. But Moses wrote of Christ. I see that. I see that clearly. Why? Because I have ears that hear. I have been given ears that hear. I've been given eyes to see, and I've been given a heart that understands. It takes a work of God to understand the words of Moses, and it takes a work of God to understand, to believe Christ Jesus. The part, if you don't understand, the problem's with you. You understand that? Can you grasp that? That's a very important principle. There's no problem whatsoever with the scriptures, with the Bible. Any problem with the word written down by Moses, or the word written in the Gospels, the word written by the prophets, the word written in the apostles, the only problem with the word written down is our understanding. The problem is us. The problem is man. We are thick. We are slow. And we are not perfect. Even though our eyes have been enlightened, we can only absorb so much. And only our understanding is only by the Spirit of God, by His Spirit, do we actually learn anything. Christ said it. Christ meant it. Moses wrote of me. Do you hear the words of Christ in the writings of Moses? Why is it important to hear and to be persuaded to believe Christ? Well, to be persuaded means to believe Christ. And that is of extreme importance. You understand, this is only because of the work of the Spirit, the work of the Son, the work of the Father. But it is extremely important that ye be persuaded, that you do believe. Because Christ also said this, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Now you understand, that's stated as a bald fact. This is not up for debate. There's no room here for doubt. Christ Himself was telling this to some Pharisees. I said to you, you're going to die in your sins. Why? For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. They did not believe. And by that reference there, combining it with this here, they did not believe Moses and the prophets either. He'll go on to tell them that later. I'm not going to get into it here because I've already got it. If you hear not Moses and the prophets, you will not believe. But if you hear Moses and the prophets, you will believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ of God. But here He says, if you believe not, ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am He. Who's this He? The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. Abraham said it here to this rich man, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. They will not. Now, what kind of conclusions can we draw from this verse? Well, there's no hope outside of God. There's no hope outside of spiritual life, being born from above, being born again, being born of the Spirit, being circumcised in the heart and ears. There is no hope outside of the Holy Spirit giving you life. Those who do not have hearing ears, those who do not have seeing eyes, those who do not have an understanding heart, which are all given by God. I mean, that's what it says. And I read it earlier in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. If you hear and you see, it's because the Lord made your ears and eyes to hear and to see. Christ said it constantly. You'll read it in the Gospels. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears. What about those who didn't have ears that hear? What about them? Well, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Hearing ears have to be given to a man. And those that do hear will be persuaded. They will be. But also we see here, after death, there's no hope for those who don't believe. There's no hope. There's a great gulf fixed. You can't come here. I can't go there. I can't help you. I have nothing for dead people. I can't help dead people. And I'm going to tell you something. That goes physically and spiritually. I can speak as well as I can speak the gospel. I can speak the words of Christ, quote them to you, tell you this is what the Lord of glory who came down was manifest in the flesh. I can read these words to you that he said that are full of love and grace and truth. But if you don't have ears that hear, you're not going to hear. But there's one other thing we see here. For the believer, for a fellow named Lazarus in this account, a certain rich man and a certain beggar named Lazarus, there is hope. Lazarus was comforted by Abraham after death. Lazarus here is shown being comforted after death. He suffered a lot in this world, but afterwards he was comforted. He was comforted. Why? Because he heard Moses and the prophets. He believed that Jesus is the Christ. He was given hearing ears and a seeing eye. His heart was circumcised, circumcision of the spirit. There's hope for those who believe Christ Jesus. There is hope for those who know him, those who love him. You understand, there is always hope for the child of God because the good shepherd takes care of his sheep. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.